A few years ago, when urban crime was rising rapidly and gunplay became standard fare on the nightly news, a certain comparison became commonplace. Contemporary urban America as Dodge City, the inner city as Wild West revisited. Historian David Courtwright has studied Dodge City and other Western cow towns and railroad camps, in short, places that were notoriously violent, and he's come up with a common thread. For reasons of migration and labor needs, those places had big populations of young, single men. For example, in Dodge City, Kansas, in 1875, there were nearly 4 men in their 20s for every woman of a similar age. David Courtwright theorizes in his book Violent Land that violence is a common byproduct of an abundance of young men unattached to women.
Basically, marriage gives you a stake in the system. A man who has a wife and 3 or 4 children is going to be less likely to wade into the thick of a barroom brawl, other things being equal, than someone who has no dependents, no family responsibilities. If you look at practically any human society, you'll see that much of the violent and disorderly behavior is caused by young single men. There's nothing different about the United States in that respect. But what was special about American history is that many of these young men were concentrated on the frontier in the areas where ranching, mining, lumbering predominated. That's where you had these huge concentrations of young bachelor laborers, sometimes 20, 30, 40 men for every woman.
And if there are people listening who think that the rates of violent crime in contemporary inner cities are unprecedented, they should take a look at some of those mining and railroad towns of the 19th century.
That's right. There were some communities where the homicide rate was 1 or even 200 per 100,000. By contrast, in a big city like Philadelphia or Boston today, the rate's closer to 20 per 100,000.
And you would find, among other bad habits of the people who inhabited these towns, that the striking thing about those very violent places was that they were overwhelmingly male, and men without women, or without mates in any case.
That's right, although, of course, there was a good deal of prostitution. One of the things that I noticed right away when I started this research is that where you have vice, you often have violence. It wasn't just the presence of the young men. It was the fact that you had these vice operations, such as brothels and saloons, that multiplied the opportunities for violent conflict. Somebody would be shot over a disputed poker game, for example, or someone might get drunk in a brothel and get into a fight. That sort of thing was common.
Now, as you try to find some continuity to the story of American violence, and as you bring this up to date in the contemporary American city, you run up against a problem, which is, in all of the past examples you've described, the men clearly outnumbered the women.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, in inner-city America today, I gather, and in particular in black neighborhoods in inner-city America, women outnumber men.
That's right. It's actually more of a paradox than it is a problem. The thing about low gender ratios in cities today is that over 3 or 4 or 5 generations, you will tend to have much higher rates of illegitimacy and divorce if you have chronically low gender ratios. The imbalances in population in the 19th century were basically transient demographic anomalies. And the situation more or less took care of itself. I mean, if you stop and think about it, if you have these communities with lots of young men, a bunch of them are going to get killed. Some of them are going to migrate elsewhere. The women who did live in these communities typically married very young. They typically bore large numbers of children, and those children were about evenly divided between male and female children, with the result that, you know, over a period of 10 or 20 years, the population naturally evens out. Unfortunately, you don't see those similar kinds of homeostatic mechanisms in inner-city populations in the 20th century.
You report a difference between the demographics of African Americans and white Americans based on the fact of a great deal of teen pregnancies, which I just found fascinating, that black America is younger than white America.
Right. You have to look at the age distribution of a population as well as the gender distribution of a population. And for many, many years, in fact, as far back as I'm aware, the median age of the African-American population has been less than that of the white population. And that's due largely to differences in fertility.
Younger women
conceive children at an earlier age and in larger numbers, and that ultimately has a bearing on what demographers call the median age of the population.
So,
and I think also that's one reason, among many others, why there tends to be more violence and disorder in the African-American population is it's a younger population.
Because it's young people, particularly young men.
Particularly young men who are single.
Who do violent things.
Who are more likely to do violent things. This is, you know, this is a generalization. It's like a distribution around a mean. It's not that everyone, God forbid, that everyone who is young and single and male is necessarily a criminal or a violent person. That's simply not true. But when you look, as I do, at the big picture, then this generalization becomes very important. In fact, without it, you cannot make heads or tails of the pattern of violence and disorder in American history.
Historian David Courtwright is the author of Violent Land.